Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 11, Episode 1 of Das Daily Zeitgeist for December 18th, 2017. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jack O'Brien of Tarth, and I am joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Yes, I can do it, a.k.a. today. Just want to shout out the Zeit Gang, Lighter Meter, Foodmonger, Seth. Y'all are fucked, our lions. So many kind words and blessings, and I see y'all out there. Keep the kind words coming. It powers my ego. Thank you so much.
My a.k.a. was courtesy of Daniel H. Brooks, and we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious Jockeys Neil.
Hey, what's up, what's up?
There he is.
What's up, man?
Chi-town.
we're thrilled to have you.
What's up?
Jockeys is one of three hosts of the upcoming Culture Kings podcast, which is basically first podcast that we are spinning off from this comedy imprint of the How Stuff Works podcast network, and we're super excited about it.
Me too.
Yeah,
I'm
man.
Preemptively claiming it's my favorite podcast.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah,
thank
mine
you.
Too.
I just you're gonna love it if you like. Just wait, guys.
We've been getting to listen to it for a couple weeks now. It is awesome.
And now Jakiz is here. You've heard pretty much all three people because you guys know Edgar. Edgar's been on a bunch. Carl was on last week, and now
you got Jakiz.
The triangle's been completed.
And you're about to get to know Jakiz better because he's gonna tell you something from his search history that is revealing about who he is as a human being.
So I, for some reason, this popped in my head, the Martin TV show, and I wanted to see a clip from when he was old and yelling at Pam saying, "Where's my mush?" And I couldn't find it, and I Google searched it for about an hour trying to look for this clip, and I'm so disappointed.
You couldn't find it?
I couldn't find it. It's not on YouTube. I couldn't, like, Google search it. I can't even figure out which episode it came from. Do you remember? Do you guys remember this?
I mean, I feel like I remember flash forwards where they're aging, for sure. Well, because also, like, Martin always had different characters or looks. But, yeah, the old man version of him and Gina. Wait,
It's him and Pam, because Gina and Martin had just broken up. And so Martin was thinking, like,
Pam
was like, your life is going to be crap. And then he was like, somebody get the phone. And like the phone wasn't ringing. And he was just like, where's my mush?
Get the Zeitgang out there on it. Yeah, somebody, everybody out there, Zeitgang, come through. Help Jakees find this clip. Please. If you have it on, if you have a box set of Martin, do they have that on DVD yet?
They should.
I know it's on TV1 all the time, but
it's on TV. It's on one of the black channels where they just play old black TV shows. It's on BET quite a bit.
Oh no, you can get the whole thing for $49.99.
Oh, all right,
all right.
Not doing an ad though.
Blu-ray or DVD?
Definitely DVD.
Definitely DVD. I don't think I want to see Martin in Blu-ray.
Yeah. Jakees, what's overrated?
I'm gonna get some people coming at me now.
Yes, you are.
Star Wars.
Oof.
Over fucking
damn
rated. Yes,
that was a TIE fighter with my mouth.
I haven't seen this new Star Wars yet. And let me just say, Star Wars as a movie, there's some good movies, there's some good storylines, some good moments.
Mm-hmm.
But as this whole thing where people are like making theories and getting arguments with people, and no, Princess Leia, when she was born here, and then she grew up and she was this strong. I'm like, man, George Lucas just wrote a fucking movie.
Right, he wrote the first one not knowing it would be a trilogy.
Right.
And it's like, oh, shit, okay.
And you and fans have taken it and put it on a life of its own, and he was like, well, I'll
so
keep making
it. So to you,
it.
The thing that's overrated is the hype?
It's the hype. Not the movie itself. The hype, the culture that's come from it. I don't get it.
So you don't really fuck with Star Wars at all, really?
I appreciate them as movies. Like, a few of them are like, oh, yeah, this is actually a good movie.
Right.
But the diving into, like, all this stuff that's not there. I'm just like, come on.
Well, the expanded universe is very intriguing, I must say. I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And it's fine. I mean, like, everyone's entitled to their opinion. And especially, like, after this weekend, Jack and I both saw Last Jedi. And I think we're going to do a special discussion on that later because we're not going to talk about
the
movie.
We're not going to ruin it for anyone.
Yeah, because I get it. Not everyone's going to watch it the first week. So get your ass out there and watch it, because pretty soon we will be dropping something.
Right,
where we
next
talk
week
about
we're going to drop something where we talk about it. I will say it wasn't what I expected. I will not say whether that's good or bad. I'll also say that just based on, you know, the thing that everybody's talking about over the weekend is like some people hated it, a lot of people loved it. I feel like Star Wars has such a complex relationship for a lot of the reasons you're talking about, Jakees. To people and like who they are, that it like nobody has the same reaction, and it's not because they're like wrong or right. It's just people are like so personally related to Star Wars. Like, I've talked to 20 people about The Last Jedi, and we all had completely different reactions for completely different reasons.
Right.
And like, I've heard people have arguments like The Doughboys, one of my favorite podcasts, they're always arguing about The Force Awakens. And Mike Mitchell, who's one of the hosts, is convinced that everybody else just likes The Force Awakens because they're trying to, like, get on board with something. Or, like, for some disingenuous reason. And I just think we all need to accept that we all just have such a personal and, like, deep-seated in our childhood relationship to Star Wars that, like, our response is going to be completely different, and it can also be totally authentic. It's just not going to be, we're not watching the same movie, essentially, when we see Star Wars.
Because it's bigger than just film. It's bigger than just a movie itself. Like, it really is ingrained in whatever it is, the culture of your friends or just how you like movies and things like that. It's gone beyond that. So that's why you're going to get so many different reviews, because people relate to it in so many different ways. Like, I go into films with a certain set of expectations based on what I as a fan wish the films could be, based on like my opinions of the early films. It's just too complex that you can't go in and be like, oh, that was good, that was bad, or whatever. It's so nuanced that, it's like almost like it's like your parents, right? Like, you can't really, you have a relationship with your parents. You see them a certain way.
Exactly.
Other people might see them a different way.
Right.
Because your relationship is different. It's just, it's hard to look at it.
It's like watching home movies and expecting like people to like them as much as you or hate them as much as you.
Right.
That shit's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
I do agree fan theories can, like, ruin shit. At the same time, there have been fan theories that, like, the Harry Potter fan theory that Neville Longbottom was secretly the Chosen and that Harry was just there as a distraction to distract Voldemort from Neville Longbottom was, like, the dopest theory and, like, the coolest idea for the plot. And, like, I'm convinced that J.K. Rowling was secretly going to write that, and then the fan theory came out, and she was like, shit, that's so good. Like, I can't steal it. It's like, and the same thing happened with the Twilight universe. Like, the Twilight fans came up with, like, a dope fan theory where, like, she was secretly a werewolf, and it, like, made all these things that, like, didn't make sense in the movies start to make sense. And then the writer was like, no, it's not that.
So, no,
like,
but that would be cool.
I agree fan theories are dangerous, but I think it's because they're too good. They're, like, better than what the writers can come up with, or, like, they get to a good idea before the writer gets to it, and then the writer can't use it. So.
Yeah.
Stop being so good at fan theories, internet. Stop it.
Also, shout out to all the people who were having straight up lightsaber fights in public this weekend. I saw,
like, real fights?
Well, no, like, clearly just two guys who only, like, once every couple years can bring out their light sticks and bang their plastic toys together in a parking lot. But these guys were doing, like, I saw a clip on Twitter, full blown, like, choreography. Like, these dudes were, like, in the lab being like, okay, man, when Last Jedi comes out, like, it's lit in the parking lot. Like, these guys are doing spins and shit. It was, I just love the enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Let me just say.
Just like, fuck all of
this. These fucking, it's about nerdy people playing swords like, in the parking lot.
Yeah. But like, I love enthusiasm, man. I grew up in theater. I love it, man.
You're a Disney fan.
Disney fan. I'm wearing a Disney dope ass jacket right now.
Yeah.
I get it. I love that. It like, all right, you guys heard about the thing where the AMC Burbank.
The sound
didn't come on
and
for
it was
like
a national emergency.
It was a national emergency.
Really?
And like people came out yelling and cursing. And I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't have restarted the movie either for you motherfuckers. Like,
Oh, they just turned the sound on suddenly? They're like, you get sound now.
Well, no, like something happened and then people ran out of the theater screaming like, you had one job. Turn on the sound.
That does seem like
we
a pretty
big failure. We are human embodiments of the internet.
It is a big failure, but it's just like if you guys would have just came out like, hey, we just want to let you know the movie.
That's what the thing is about Star Wars. It's not a movie. Right? It's religion for some people. So like, could you imagine?
Could I imagine if I went to church and the preacher's microphone was off?
Like, off and like,
you had one job.
Yeah, just flip out, fight the preacher. So what's something that's underrated?
Christmas food in general.
Okay.
So here's what I mean by this. So Thanksgiving, I love Thanksgiving, but Thanksgiving is one day.
Right.
Once the calendar turns and it hits December, you're going to so many holiday parties where people get potlucks and Christmas cookies and candies. You're going to have at least like 3 real Christmas meals.
Right.
That's just as in-depth as, like, a Thanksgiving meal.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, Christmas food in general is basically Thanksgiving for an entire month.
Yeah.
And nobody talks about it.
That's true.
Nobody brings it up saying, like, yeah, this is great. I love it.
Give me some specifics. What's your favorite Christmas holiday food?
My favorite Christmas holiday food, like, good holiday ham.
Yes.
Ooh, yes.
Oh,
yes.
I feel like you get more of those pigs in the blankets during the Christmas season.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Like, there's this family that I grew up with where they make these white chocolate chip dream cookies only during Christmas season.
What's a dream cookie?
It's basically like a cookie with...
It's in the shape of a dream catcher?
No, it's the shape of a cookie.
Oh, okay.
You idiot.
Just a reckless circle
cookie.
That
you hold it above your head while you're sleeping.
Yeah. And it has like orange peels in it and like white chocolate chips.
Oh, wow.
It's so damn good.
They tell orphans to imagine their best dream and then tell them it's not happening and they cry and they use their tears and the cookies. That's how you
give
get
it a little,
dreams.
Little
get a little, saltiness to it. A little sweet and salty.
Where do you guys fall on eggnog?
I love eggnog.
I like eggnog. I don't love it.
My grandpa makes eggnog so well. So it's a tradition in my family. Although I know it's a divisive issue.
It's so good. But it's so also I was noticing on the Starbucks menu that like the eggnog latte has 300 more calories than like any other, like the pumpkin spice and stuff.
Just
like eggnog
cream.
Is just pure like egg yolk and cream and sugar. It's like, I don't know. It's like the peak of human decadence.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll go on like our headstone as a species as like the thing that like, yo, they invented eggnog. That
you know, they
shit
were drinking
insane.
This. Yeah.
They were drinking.
They were just mainlining this. Like,
with alcohol.
Right.
What the fuck?
Yeah. That with alcohol. Christmas food's good. You also, you had a second underrated.
I do.
What is it? I mean, I know what it is.
You know what it is.
But tell the people.
I had to do it for Miles.
Here we go.
Yes.
Cruises.
Woo!
Oh! If you have not been on a cruise,
yes,
you are missing out on some of the best times of your life. I don't want to hear this. So you just on a boat in the water for 5 days? Shut up. Like, it's amazing. You get free food.
Well, I mean, you pay for it. But you don't have to pull your wallet out.
You don't have to pull your wallet out. You get to go different places. Like, you know, you're only there for a day, but you get to experience little slices of life. It's sampler plates.
And you're worry-free, right? Like, you wake up. First of all, I'm the biggest fan of breakfast buffets of any human being on the planet. Yo, like, I will fucking cry in front of a breakfast buffet.
Yeah.
And cruise ships, every morning, it's Christmas because you go to the crazy breakfast buffet. I went on one cruise. They had, you could do a full blown like English breakfast, American breakfast. They had like stuff like when they say continental, like different continents were represented. That you can get drunk and you're not paying. You just give them your card.
Just give them your card.
And you don't have to drive anywhere. You just walk back to your room.
And like, I don't day drink often. but when I do, day drink on a cruise ship. And I've never felt like extremely hungover on a cruise.
No, it's impossible.
It's just like, this is life. This is great.
And you get to walk out on the deck, like, especially if I went on an Alaskan cruise where you look out and you're seeing like beautiful nature.
Yeah.
And then you can just chill with your martini. It's like the fourth one before 10 a.m.
It's
and
amazing.
You're just looking out there and you're arguing with people. It's just great, you know?
Pina coladas.
Also, super producer Nick just held up a thing just to rain on our parade. It just said norovirus.
Wow, cool.
Thanks. Yes, sure, thanks, they're man. Like big cesspit petri dishes. Yeah. But look, make it work for you.
Yeah.
Young people, I'm telling you, think it's an old people thing. Go with all your friends. It's like you're only paying like a set amount. You're not going to pay more.
Yeah.
And you're going to love it because you'll all be together anyway. Just
it's the best.
I'm with you.
I know Dan and Cody and Michael at Cracked, like at one point, went on like a cruise for people under like 30 or something. And they said it was like the best time they've ever had.
Man, I go on ones with people over 80 and it's the best time.
And everybody's so nice.
Yeah.
It feels like all the world problems. It's like, you know what?
It's crazy.
We're all human.
I went on one basically in the lead up to the election last year. It was right when the national convention happened and Trump got the nomination. And it was like, it was interesting because they were like, I'm with my family. We were all very liberal. And then we were seated next to like these people who were like all about Trump, which is fine. But like even then, I heard the conversation. I overheard their conversation. I was like, okay, we're probably not ideologically a match. But then they're just kind of like, hey, this cruise ship, huh? And like looking at my black family, like, okay, see, like they're just they kept it on the cruise. They didn't like, hey, how'd you get on here?
Right.
It's like it brings people together.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna get in format, guys. We're trying to take a sample of the ideas that are out there changing the world. Trying to take the temperature of our global shared consciousness as a species. The first thing we like to do before we get to the news stories is ask our guest if there's a myth that the national global shared consciousness, the zeitgeist, has wrong, like in our movies or just the things we generally believe.
Just speak truth right now.
Speak truth. Chicagoans do not go around eating deep dish pizza as their only pizza dish on a regular basis.
Oh.
Chicago pizza is not deep dish pizza. It is a Chicago thing.
Right.
But when you ask a Chicagoan what Chicago pizza is, it is the thin crust tavern style square pizza that they cut up into squares. And it has like a different flavor to it than just like a regular big slice of pizza like if you get from New York.
Right.
But that's what we mean by Chicago. If we say deep dish, we are talking specifically about deep dish. If we say Chicago pizza, we're talking about our thin crust version.
That's interesting. I read an article that Minnesota was trying to claim that's soda pizza.
Soda pizza?
But is the deep dish?
No. Was the square cut thin crust pizza.
Right. That's like crackery?
It can be, but not always. It can be soft pizza. I will debunk that because I was a tour guide in Chicago for 3 years.
Okay.
So perfect. I have no Chicago history.
Yeah, literally an ambassador of the city.
And it was created in a tavern in the Chicagoland area.
Which makes sense because Andrew Zimmern, who does Bizarre Foods, he's from Minnesota, and this food writer hit him up and was like, hey, what do you know about this? He goes, that's fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
So being a Minnesota food guy, he was like, no, that's not a thing. But it was interesting because that came up. Wait, so then, but if you say pizza in Chicago, if you just say, let's get pizza, that means that pizza?
Yes.
It's not like, let's go to Lou Malnati's?
No.
Deep dish is a specific thing.
It's a specific thing.
Yeah. It's like a quiche.
It is.
It's not even
wild.
Pizza.
I love it. I have a love-hate relationship with deep dish pizza because I love to eat pizza like in volume.
Mm-hmm.
But deep dish, I cannot get through more than three pieces. Like on my third piece, I'm f- fucking horizontal.
I think that is the human record, is three pieces of deep dish pizza like before you, sitting, like, yeah, your heart just, like, starts to hurt.
Unless you are, like, drunk.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, well, yeah, in which case you're...
then you can eat an entire pizza.
Right.
Well, I'm glad we cleared that up. Because, yeah, it's true. I think, especially in L.A., what's funny, I meet people from Chicago, and then I'm like, hey, have you had masa out here? Which is, like, our the best version of deep dish we have.
Right.
Like, that's, like, the thing people always just think of for food-wise is deep dish.
Right.
And I know, I'm be like, tavern-style
pizza. Chicago pizza, deep... If we're going out, like, a year, I'll probably go get deep dish four times.
Right.
Five times, maybe, a year in Chicago. That's not what we're eating for pizza. It's right. a meal.
I love it. Changing the game.
Changing the game, guys. But
dropping knowledge.
So let's get into stories, guys. Up first, we have there was an Amtrak train that derailed outside of Seattle. We still don't know what happened. There are reports that it might have been caused by an object on the track. And Al-Qaeda, I think in August, put out in their Al-Qaeda Weekly or whatever their magazine is, just instructions on how to derail trains in America. I think they specifically were focusing on the East Coast corridor, but this seems like the sort of thing that they were talking about. So, again, we don't know the details, but that's something that makes train travel seem much more fragile and prone to accidents than you would expect. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on that. And, I mean, the events of this morning and the weekend sort of reminded us of how fragile infrastructure is in this country. Of course, the derailment we were just talking about, and then over the weekend, there was a power outage in Atlanta International Airport for a couple hours that caused huge sort of cascading, you know, delays and, you know, things to just go all sorts of haywire across the world. But yeah, I mean, we've been talking about how we need to invest in infrastructure for a long time. Trump laid out his vision for a $1 trillion infrastructure package back in May, but that did not happen. The budget
wall
hawks
became more important.
That turned into a tax giveaway.
Right. Yeah. So, but I'm sure all those corporations who are getting a tax rebate are going to invest that in fixing our train tracks and roads and,
of course, man,
power infrastructure.
Let it trickle down, baby.
So, yeah, we'll see how that story develops. But, yeah, you know, thoughts are with the people who are on that train and who were on the highway that it derailed onto. And then just briefly, we wanted to talk about the CDC, who released a list of words that were not to be used in any papers or, you know, reports that they filed this year. And it's interesting. The sorts of words that you would think
offensive
that they would need to use.
Oh, really? I thought they were very offensive.
Right,
They made my – when I read the words, I'm like, good, let's do away with these words.
Right. So on the list – diversity.
Oh, I'm leaving.
Fetus.
Fuck no.
Transgender. Vulnerable.
Vulnerable.
That's just a word.
Come on, man.
That's because I'm a man.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Don't say that around here.
Ain't no vulnerability nowhere near here, man.
That's so transparently insecure. We will not talk about vulnerability.
Yeah. I'm lifting 50-pound weights right now.
The craziest one, science-based and evidence-based may not be used.
We're legit in the post-truth era, for sure.
And for science-based and evidence-based, in addition to a couple others, they gave examples of what you should say instead. And for science-based, they suggested CDC bases its recommendations on science in consideration with community standards and wishes.
Wow. You know why? Because science is so true that they have to obscure that, because it's almost like a trump card. You're like, well, science-based evidence shows, because, like, you can't argue with that. So now it's like, let's make it all weird. So it's like nebulous now.
Let's make it like it's an opinion.
Well, what's crazy too is, like, when you think about, like, the kinds of shit that the CDC works on, like, for example, like the National Center for HIV, AIDS, Viral Hepatitis, STD, and TB Prevention, they're working on ways to prevent HIV among transgender people and reduce health disparities. So that's going to complicate their work. And also the CDC's work on birth defects caused by Zika virus includes research on fetuses. So, I mean, a lot of people are saying, like, this is more of like a win for the evangelical community.
Yeah.
Because it completely, like, obscures this idea. Like, they're apparently they're anti-choice sites that have started pushing like a theory that Zika doesn't even cause microcephaly or other birth defects because they don't want women to have abortions. It's fucking wild. But apparently the CDC, the head of the CDC came out and basically said, didn't deny that these like words were banned, but just sort of said like, look, we'll always be like, science will be the foundation for all of our research, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, she kind of came out and directly gave a fuck you to, like, in the face of this memo. She said, the CDC remains committed to our public health mission as a science and evidence-based institution.
So, yeah, she
so
said it.
She used the bad words
also
in her memo to her staff.
I don't, like, all right, science-based, evidence-based, as fucked up as that is, like, that tracks. I can see how some ignorant people was like, all right, don't say it. I don't get how diversity tracks.
Right,
or
right.
Vulnerable tracks.
Like, well, that means it would favor, like, the majority of the country, which would be white. You
right,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
You, vulnerable communities typically are, you know, marginalized groups.
Marginalized, yeah.
Yeah.
And vulnerable, you know, like, and diversity would mean introducing other, yeah, so, I mean, it feels like a...
See, Jacques, if you understood that there was a white genocide taking place, then
yeah.
You might understand the situation we're in here.
Your white genocide tattoo is healing really nice. I must say, it's looking really good. The shading on that is beautiful.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. I have to get this covered up a little bit more.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. So I want to talk about something that we've generally steered clear of on the Daily Zeitgeist because...
steered clear of. It's controversial.
It is controversial, and it also kind of makes you sound like a crazy person.
Wait, what do you mean, Jack? What do you...
We're talking, of course, about science-based... we're talking about UFOs. They're... Yeah, so we're just going to have to keep this playing. That's my conspiracy theory music, and you're just going to have to let it ride for this entire segment because so there was a New York Times article and a Politico article over the weekend that were basically reporting on the same thing. This dude who used to run a very secretive branch of the Department of Defense.
Dude, the Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program.
Right. Which, woo! Yeah, that sounds great. Like we're studying, Russian stealth bombers or something like that. But no, they were actually just studying all these examples of, you know, military aviation pilots who were seeing things that just could not be explained by not just, you know, our current technology, but just our understanding of aerodynamics and like how things move through air.
Right.
They were just like that shouldn't be possible. We actually have audio from one of the transmissions. This is a pilot just being sort of awestruck at this thing he witnessed. They call it the Tic Tac because it's shaped like a Tic Tac, sort of oblong.
Is he like flying with another pilot or something?
Yeah.
Tracking this object?
So they're flying and they just see this object that's the shape of a Tic Tac, like on the outside you don't see any like windows or anything, just it's just a smooth ass oblong shape
covered. It's
yeah.
Not yeah,
it's just a looks like a giant Tic Tac
on his
and
screen
it's
right
moving. Like when you look at the video it's like yeah that seems weird, but you can't quite appreciate how weird it is because you know it's being shot from a also moving plane, but then at a certain point it just like turns and it's like what the fuck was that?
Yeah,
like
that
can't have existed in reality. But yeah, let's play it. Let's play the audio real quick.
There's a whole fleet of them. Look on the ASA. Oh my gosh. They're all going against the wind. The wind's 120 knots to the west. Oh, thing, dude.
Like these are military people.
Yeah.
They're like, look at that thing, dude.
It's not an LNS though, is it? It's not.
It is an LNS, dude.
Well, if there's like,
look at that thing.
It's rotating.
Yeah, it just starts rotating. That's the part where he goes, look at that thing again, because
thing
it just
dude.
Starts rotating in the middle of the air.
When he's like, my God, that you could tell that's someone dealing with,
yeah,
like, trying to process, like, am I just, I think we're straight up looking at a UFO.
Yeah, these are people who, like, usually communicate in, like, Bravo, Niner, like, you know, just, like, technical jargon, because you're not supposed to say shit like, my God, on the air, like a fucking, like you're, you know, a teenager or something. So this dude came out and was like, there's a lot of shit like this. There's, you know, one time a pilot saw something off the coast of San Diego that was just hovering above the ocean, and the ocean seemed to be boiling underneath it, and they couldn't explain what it was, and these things just, like, flit off, like,
right,
at a speed that seems impossible, and, like, you can't say anything about it.
Well, it's wild, too, like, when you think about why he came out, like, with it, too, because he felt like it was being marginalized, like, this research
right
wasn't being taken seriously, but, like...
By the Department of Defense.
Right. And then when you have that many pilots, like, seeing it, you know, I think he was saying, like, in the Daily this morning on the podcast was saying, like, you know, it's reaching, like, a tipping point with, like, eyewitnesses now.
Right,
right.
It's
hard to just be like, nah, ain't nothing out there.
Right. They can't just say... No, nobody saw
he's
that.
He's crazy. Don't worry about
they
it.
They got to get the neutralizer out now.
And the thing,
the neuralizer.
The neuralizer, right. Right.
The thing he was saying is, you know, if we were seeing Russian aircraft or, you know, any other nation's aircraft doing the things these aircraft are doing, like just hovering over, apparently they seem to hang out around nuclear facilities. If we were seeing enemy or just foreign national like aircraft doing those things, it would be all over the news. Everybody would be freaking out. But,
right,
but because you know, it's classified, and because I guess they don't want people to freak out or something, you know, they have just been completely ignoring it. He was like, you just hear crickets. And it's interesting because, so usually the thing that was really different about this was usually the people who I hear talk about UFOs are people who wouldn't have any cause to know any better than me. Like, they're right, just right. Like, oh, you just don't know, man. It's like, well,
I lived in the desert for 40 years, right? Man. Like Moses.
Right.
And I've seen things.
And like, so we've got this guy who headed up a branch of the Department of Defense. And obviously, like, he wasn't just recruited from a coast to coast AM. Like, he's a, he's a actual, you know, like, military professional who, by the way, during his interview with the New York Times, he like sat with his back to a wall to make sure nobody came in and was like looking over his shoulder the whole time. But you also have just all these pilots who apparently it's like sort of an open secret in the aviation industry. So there's this aviation billionaire who, I guess because he's spoken to enough pilots or maybe because of personal experience, is like, yeah, there's definitely aliens. They're definitely visiting us. And, you know, again, a person who is more trustworthy than anyone you usually see on the news talking about UFOs being out there. And he convinced former Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, at the time he was the Senate Majority Leader, to, you know, get this program started. And it ended up sort of fizzling out, according to the Politico reporting. But it's pretty remarkable. And it seems like it fizzled out more from want of, you know, people acknowledging what was going on more than from want of, like, there actually being evidence.
Why is it that the Navy pilots always get to see the coolest shit? I feel like every, like, from even my earliest, like, times reading conspiracy theory books, it's always someone like, you know, these pilots saw something.
Right.
I guess because you're in the air.
You're in the
and
air.
You see it. Like, I guess I answered my own question, but I guess in my thing, I was like, why can't I just be at North Hollywood Rec Center?
Right.
Shooting in the gym.
So, I mean,
and like,
this
UFO
is the
flies
thing.
Over.
So the things that make sense to me about these, like, if I'm thinking from the aliens' point of view,
yes,
which
please
is a
tell us
sentence that I never thought I'd be saying, but you know, it's always people in super, you know, fast military aircraft or, you know, planes. So they're up above where, you know, it would be easier to see things that were hiding from people on the surface of the planet.
Right.
You also hear a lot of sightings happening out in the deserts, which, again, would be easier to get away with because fewer people out there.
Right.
So if you had to do shit, you would want to do it there. And then the other thing, You saw a lot of UFO reports during World War II.
Oh.
And so, like, if you were monitoring a species from a distance, like, that would be a flare-up that you would want to keep an eye on. Is like, oh, these people might just
like,
mark
they
themselves
are fucking
as a
up down there.
Yeah,
they're
destroying
this
the
might
planet.
Be it. And I just wonder, like, if it's World War II, and then now they're like interested in our nuclear facilities, like
because
you know,
of Trump.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or they're just like, do they know what they're fucking
right,
with? Just
exactly.
Having that near where they live,
right?
Because clearly we haven't learned our lessons. When
so you're saying you think there are like aliens above the level where our eyes can see, just watching us?
Yeah, or like, yeah, they have like really sophisticated monitoring. Mm-hmm. You know,
I love this.
The question I've always heard that I still haven't heard a satisfactory answer for is, you know, we had all these reports of UFOs, but now that every single person has a camera with them at all times,
right.
Like we haven't seen any perfect evidence of a UFO.
That's true.
That seems weird to me. But I mean, if these people are saying they're seeing things like from planes and like aviation people are
right.
The only ones who notice it, then maybe like that's just where they hang out is like
well,
in the upper atmosphere.
Because that the video from that sort of transmission we heard from those fighter jet pilots, that
right.
Definitely looks like some weird shit. Like
right.
You that's sort of oddly just kind of floating through the sky, like it just moves how it wants to.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which
exactly.
Is, and I yeah. And I guess that really brings it's crazy that this comes out because I think most people believe if you look at science enough that you know, how could Earth be the only planet that has life on it, intelligent life on it, considering that the universe is constantly expanding? There's like however many sextillion stars observable that one of those could be the sun of another solar system. I mean, just to see that we're reaching a point where like people are leaving the DOD to talk about this, it it kind of makes my skin crawl a little bit because I'm like, oh, God. Like, I knew I always wanted to hear this, but now I'm like, whoa,
it's getting close.
Man, right. I guess
it's getting close.
We're beyond the point of just me being like the cool dude who's really high at the party, be like, you know how many stars are out there? You think we're the only ones?
Yeah.
So
I don't understand why, like, in terms of like media and like news traveling fast, it's a very small amount of time in our humanity.
Right.
So I can only imagine what people were seeing before, like, news traveled as fast as it did. But I don't understand why, like, because I believe it, too. We can't be the only life in this universe. Why are they hiding? I don't get why they're hiding. Like, if you want something that'll bring everybody together, white people, black people, Americans, Russians.
Yep.
Put some shit from outer space on this planet, and everybody be like, you know what? We together.
Fighting Earth, under that Earth flag.
Earth.
But their interests wouldn't be uniting us. Like, they don't give a shit about us.
No. We would unite ourselves.
They'd be like, come up off that water, right, homie.
I still like the Star Trek theory that they're just waiting for us to achieve a sophisticated enough level where they're like, all right, they're ready. Okay, so there's like 20 different species of us. Like, you guys weren't ready before, but now you seem sophisticated enough to...
I mean, we barely...
They want to fight.
Right. Yeah.
A fair fight.
Right. Yeah. They're just like, nah, we don't have to worry about these people.
I mean, this is also like the one thing I feel like that is a distraction enough for Trump that he could really legitimately hide behind this. He's like, well, Russia probe, my man, we got aliens. Okay.
Right.
Don't worry if I colluded.
Could you imagine if this is when the aliens decide to come fuck with us? Like, come on, please no. I mean, I've always, it's interesting because our existence as a species, when you hear about people talk about it, like scientists talk about it in terms of the universe's lifespan. It's just a blink. And so I've always had a hard time wrapping my mind around the idea that, you know, our blink would overlap with the blink of another species that was like reaching a like high enough level that they could travel wherever they wanted. But I mean, our engineer Nick was pointing out that that assumes that their species hasn't been around for, you know, 2 million years and figured out a technology for sustaining life. And, you know, so my theory is bullshit. I've always thought first contact would happen with like us encountering like a record of a civilization that has died off or something.
That used to live here.
Right. Not that used to live here, that lived somewhere else and just like sent something out into the universe.
Oh, right.
Like a Pompeii
like a
of the
capsule.
Universe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like a Pompeii of another species. Yeah. Because, like, I don't know. It's harder for a life form to survive than record of a life form. But that's also assuming that, you know, that they're as prone to fuck ups as we are. Like, if they're coming over to see World War II, maybe they're just like, why are they doing this?
Maybe,
are they, like, killing each other?
Yeah, are we, like, the Real Housewives of the universe where people just watch and go, yo, y'all want to see a mess? Yo, hop on board. About to go to Earth. Watch these people not know how to act and fuck up their own planet. It's crazy. You thought we had problems? Wait till you go to Earth.
Turn the channel 18,000 million.
Right.
Watch this
just
Earth.
Eating popcorn like, oh shit, they got a new atomic bomb. Whoa. This All Eisenhower right. dude is crazy.
So hopefully you guys don't think we're crazy at this point. But go check out the New York Times article, go check out the Politico article. It's really compelling stuff, even if you don't believe in it. I mean, especially like I woke up this morning not thinking that we had contact with an alien species, and now I'm at least less certain of that fact. So it's probably worth checking out, regardless of what you believe.
Could you imagine though? This is like just the most classified shit that like, because I refuse to believe that only our pilots are seeing it.
Right.
You know, like some like a Russian fighter would be like, yo, shoot that shit down.
Right.
Like, let's see what's up.
Right.
Or like, do other countries have their versions of these programs too? Where they're like, don't tell anybody. Like, we can't tell anybody. Like,
right. What if they've reverse engineered it more than us? Like, that's a question that I think, you know, they mentioned the idea that we're trying to reverse engineer some of that shit, and it's
right.
just not possible based on what we know how to
do. Because all UFO stories that we know are from people who live here in the U.S., right?
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like that it's all...
Or at least, I mean, they're probably just more in our consciousness because it's in our country, but I'm sure to our international audience, hit us with alien stories from whatever your country is.
Yeah.
So we can start, you know, cross-referencing.
Yeah. I mean, there's that picture of the Madonna from the Renaissance Italy where there's just like a UFO in the background that I'm not going to lie, kind of looks like a Tic Tac, you guys.
Wait, what?
Yeah, there's a painting of not Madonna from the 80s, Miles. Is that what you thought?
Yeah, that's what I thought. No, cone bra.
No, a painting of the Virgin Mary. Oh. And then there's like a tiny little speck in the back that when you zoom in, it looks like a UFO.
It looks like an amoeba.
Yeah, it's weird.
Or like cilia or something.
Yeah, just flying through the air. So that's one Italian UFO sighting, potentially.
Okay, cool. Well, so
check that out.
Check that out and, you know, put your tinfoil hat on.
Yeah.
And get ready for Arrival.
Let's ride into this next break on our conspiracy theory music, and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. Now for some problems that are more clear and present. We have... So this weekend was sort of boiling with rumors that Trump was getting ready to fire Mueller. I still pronounce it as Bueller, Mueller.
Hey, it's all up to
Mueller,
you.
However, the Mueller is in the eye of the beholder. but so where did these theories come from, Miles?
So it looks like it's a very coordinated attack from like some GOP hack congressman and a lot of Fox News personalities that are really trying to fucking push all these kinds of things, whether it's
the media wing of the Trump White
House. Exactly. Yeah. Or state-run media, Fox News, or your massive propaganda channel, to point out that like one of the things is like, oh, the Clinton 4, I think there was like an attack ad going out on Fox of like these like agents that worked on it who are talking spicy about Trump, like in the election, not during like this probe, trying to discredit a lot of the investigation to basically like sow the seeds and build some kind of wave or sentiment that Mueller should be fired and the probe and special counsel should be ended. Like, especially this weekend, one of the biggest ones was the idea of like all these emails from the transition team that Mueller got a hold of. And like suddenly, like, I guess the Trump team didn't know because like during the questioning, they brought up emails and they were kind of like, oh, y'all got those emails? Like, and now they're trying to be like, you need to give those back. Like, right. You got those illegally or whatever.
Attorney-client privilege. Yeah, they keep calling attorney-client privilege. It's like, is that the only thing you know about the law?
Right, exactly. Or even when it's like, oh, you know, the biggest thing is that most people in the government are saying like, this is part of public record. Like, you can't, there's no expectation that these are private. B, he got all those, emails with the permission of like all the appropriate, you know, parties involved, use the appropriate criminal processes to get them. And then another person would be like, oh, well, you know, there's like executive privilege because there's the transition team. But it's like, fam, executive privilege applies when you become the executive, not in the transition. Barack Obama is the executive during that time. You all are just the transition team. So there's not even that. Like, they have a lot of real, these arguments don't really stack up.
Yeah, and I mean, Trump's lawyers have been, up to this point, super confident. It's been the one thing that I've been like, well, maybe there is nothing there because, you know, Ty Cobb is sitting there twiddling his weird mustache and just being like, yo, there's nothing here. Sure, we'll give you everything. The fact that they were like, oh, you have those emails? Like,
that's, yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, right.
How'd you get those?
He didn't mean everything.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard this described by a media analyst as sort of the Trump administration putting out weather balloons to see like how people will respond to the idea of him firing Mueller. And, you know, this seemed like, you know, he's done that in the past when I think Gingrich and a couple other stooges like came out and were like, yeah, he should fire Mueller. And it was just like a little blip, like three different people who were Trump supporters came out and like put that out there on Fox. And then you didn't really hear about it some more that much because it was like not taken seriously. And now it was just like a barrage of that same thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's them once again just being like, is this okay? Are you guys going to freak out if we fire this dude?
And, you know, look, we pointed this out a couple weeks ago. We said the rhetoric was getting spicy. And now, like, again, this weekend, it was full frontal attack on this thing. And we have a clip of just some of, like, Think Progress put together, like, a sort of montage of Fox News and GOP lawmakers that are really trying to stoke the flames of the Fire Mueller movement. So we kind of picked some of the better bits out of that.
No one on Mueller's team likes Trump. We already knew that.
I don't know of any experience in American history where you have the scale of abuse of power that we're seeing right now.
This is disgusting, unaccountable bias.
Robert Mueller has assembled the most partisan special counsel in history.
It needs to be cleansed of individuals who should not just be fired, but who need to be taken
terminated
in handcuffs.
How would a straight face? Can you say that this group of Democrat partisans are unbiased and will give President Trump a fair shake?
Where the real investigation should be into the highly corrupt and highly politicized DOJ, FBI, and even our intelligence community.
It's a smoking gun proof that Mueller's probe is a total political sham. It's a witch hunt. It needs to be shut down immediately if we believe in the rule of law and our Constitution.
Yeah. Okay.
I've never heard so many... like, their voices even sound like they're some lying, racist pieces of shit. This is crazy.
By taken out in handcuffs, she, of course, means put in handcuffs and shot in the back of the head, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. Summarily executed in the street. I mean, look, Judge Pirro, yo, just keep speeding on the highway. Like, you know, don't stop commenting on the rule of law.
Who was that again?
Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Okay.
The one who, you know, she tried to prosecute Robert Durst back in the day.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But now was like a TV judge and then is like now the biggest Trump rider ever. Like saying I think he just DMs her.
She's so far out there that she had a November 1st meeting with Trump in the White House, and she was talking about, I think, Uranium One or whatever, the Hillary Clinton conspiracy theory where she supposedly gave Russia control of part of the U.S. uranium. That was what she was purportedly going to talk about. And then she launched into stuff about Mueller and Comey, and even Trump, like after an hour, was just like, yo, just like, can somebody get her out of here?
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, she gets private conversations with the president. Like, she's like anybody from Fox News who he watches, yeah. I'm sure.
Isn't there his personal buddy?
But yeah, it's wild to think that, you know, they want to use this rule of law argument when this whole investigation is going to boil down to, like, if the rule of law will be respected in the country, right? Because this is all about whether the president is higher or above the law, which he is not.
Right.
And by beginning to, like, meddle with this investigation that is time after time, like, showing new things that at very least are very troubling, like, no matter how intense you want to look at it. But the fact of the matter is, like, foreign country was fucking with our democracy. It's just very scary because if he does dismantle this special counsel, that's step one of us, like, really kind of losing ourselves.
I mean, losing
what the country's about.
He's banking on the fact that we as people have as short of an attention span.
Right.
That he does. when the whole grab him by the pussy thing came mm-hmm. out. And then, like, recently he was like, he's floating the idea that, well, maybe those tapes were altered. Like, right. Fool, a year ago you were like, yeah, I said it. I'm sorry. And now a year later, because he's just like, well, maybe they forgot.
Well, maybe everyone is senile like me.
Yeah. Right. It's insane. So, if he fires Mueller, whatever his name is.
Mueller.
If he fires the fabulous Mueller, he's banking on the fact that they might be outraged for a couple weeks.
Yo.
But they'll get over it. Kind of like they got over Comey, because ain't nobody talking about that no more.
Well, right. Yeah, but that led to this mess. So now he's got to, like, that's the response. Well, and again, luckily, like, he can't fire him, like, legally, right? Rod Rosenstein is the only person who could technically fire him.
So he would have to fire Rod Rosenstein.
He would have to do a Nixon-style Saturday Night Massacre where he's like, you going to fire Mueller? He'll be like, no, I'm going to resign. And he's like, all right, I'm promoting you. You're in the game. You're point guard. You're starting. Can you fire Mueller? And they're like, nah, I'm going to resign. And again, this happened with Nixon when he tried to kill the Watergate shit. Mm-hmm. And it just ends up like he'll eventually find some hack. Right. He'll be like, yeah, hell yeah. Does it mean I'm like, I'm the new attorney general?
So Nixon tried to stop the Watergate investigation. And that's actually what got him impeached was basically people being like, yo, that just makes you look
straight up obstruction.
So guilty.
Yeah.
And I do think that, I mean, I have enough respect for the intelligence of people who don't work at Fox News but who are on the right that I think even if you don't believe that there's anything there that for this investigation to uncover, you still want to see it go to its conclusion to prove that.
You don't want to see
it killed and make everybody think,
oh.
I mean, at the same time,
too much credit
it does seem like the people who support Trump are mainly motivated by seeing him do anything that will enrage the left. And this would be like the number one thing he could do to enrage the left. So I don't know. Let's see. The one thing I heard over the weekend that made me think he might not fire him is somebody asked him, are you planning on firing Mueller? And he said no. And even though he isn't always completely 100% truthful, it does seem like the sort of thing he wouldn't say if he was planning on it, just because he hates to be wrong so much. Like, you know, he would never be like, oh, I just, you know, I guess I changed my mind. Like, that seems like too much for him to admit that he had something.
I mean,
wrong.
I'm not going to put anything past this dude.
Yeah. Because
it looks like it's getting hotter and hotter. It and, like, the rumors of Jared is up next to get a little indictment.
So what do you think would happen? Like, would there be riots. What do you?
There's gonna be riots. I mean, I think
if he fired Mueller,
I mean, there again this weekend, like everybody was like, "This is what we need to do because this will trigger a constitutional crisis,
right?
And we will need to go into the streets and make people loud, like know that we are out here and we see what's going on," which is true. I mean, I would go out there and be like, "We see what's happening."
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna really speculate. I'd rather not live in a reality where I have to think about him, like, completely acting like he's a dictator that's above the law.
Right.
Because that would be more, like, troubling to me than, like, whatever the fallout is. I'm like, oh, wow, like, this dude, because, like, his favorite list of leaders are, like, Xi Jinping, Erdogan, and fucking Putin, mm-hmm. Duterte. Like, like, the posters on his walls are not basketball players. They're, like, authoritarian.
They're just dictators.
So...
I mean, he wants unilateral power. Like, even in the beginning of his presidency, he said, and a lot of people probably forgot about this, he said, you know, I'm exploring, maybe I can pardon myself.
Right.
Like, you remember that?
Yeah.
Like, so he wants the complete power.
Unaccountable.
He's just looking at those other guys and like, damn, y'all get to just fucking tell everybody what to do in your country? How do I do that here, guys? How do I do that here?
Right.
It's a great white hope.
All right. This has been a blast, Jacques, having you.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jacques Neal, JacquisNeal. And also, I do stuff at UCB. I'm on the improv team there, Herald Team Dollhouse. You can check me out weekly. And Culture Kings coming up January 3rd is the episode 0 launch date. January 10th, episode 1. Meet Carl and Edgar. Check it out. Yeah.
It's a great show. Miles, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
You can follow me on Twitter only at Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page. Just search Daily Z. It should fill the rest in for you. And we have a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
Where we link off to all the stories we were talking about on today's episode. And guys, if you like the Daily Zeitgeist, please go on Apple Podcasts and rate and review it. It helps other people find it and it helps us out. And that's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then.
Zeitgang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.